Welcome to Family Talk with your host, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. Luann, we are living in a very technologically advanced period in history.
You would know that better than any of us, Ryan.
I think so. I mean, I can see iPad in the studio, your laptop, my iPhone. Dad, you're even on Facebook.
We're impressed.
Well, sort of, but email is my addiction, you know. In fact, I had about 3 weeks ago, I had 900 emails backed up, and my head was swimming.
I just erased them all.
I did. Some of them, anyway.
Well, Doctor, it's so true. I mean, if we let it, technology can just take us over, and it can chew through those precious few hours that we have, especially with our families.
That is really true, and I'm starting to feel it, and I'm not a techie. I do have an iPad sitting in front of me here, but I'm not a techie, but I'm learning. And you mentioned Facebook. I'm really afraid to get into that because I don't have the time for yet another thing that will consume me. But it's affecting marriages. It's affecting many people today who don't have time for each other because there's all this electronic stuff waiting for them. And that's what we want to talk about today, because we have a couple here with us that's written a book that at least deals with that and some other subjects. But it is expressing concern for the fact that we're together, but we're not together. As a matter of fact, Shirley, my wife, was here this morning. She was talking about the fact that we went to a banquet a couple of weeks ago. And at our table were some young women, young wives, and for some reason their husbands were not there, and they began complaining about their husbands and the fact that these guys will come home and get on a BlackBerry or go to the internet or use the cell phone, and they just feel like they're just not even there. They, you know, these guys look past them, and I know that that was part of the reason that you all wrote this book. Now, I'm talking to and about Pastor Kerry Shook and his wife, Chris. They have written a couple of books. The previous one was called One Month to Live, 30 Days to a No-Regrets Life. Kerry is the senior pastor of Woodlands Church and one of the fastest-growing churches in the country. Chris has co-authored this book. Did you co-author the first one also?
We did.
So you're in there. You're the writer. Is that right?
We write. It's 50-50.
Okay.
We're a team. That makes it much more difficult, Dr. Dobson, but much better in the end.
Well, if you can survive that. I mean, group writing is tough to do. The book we're going to talk about today is more recent. It's called Love at Last Sight. The subtitle of this book is 30 Days to Grow and Deepen Your Closest Relationships. Now, you heard in the introduction that the concern is for a fast-paced, noisy, electronic, high-tech world that squeezes out relationships. Is that a major theme of this book?
Definitely a major theme of the book. And I have to say that we're a high-tech family as well. We have four kids, and they're all, you know, on their cell phones, and they text message constantly. And one of the things we noticed is that technology started taking over our family. And we would be sitting on the sofa and watching our kids text message each other, you know, just a few feet away. And we realized that, and again, we're not bashing technology. We use it all the time, but we realized we had to limit it. We had to get very serious about putting limits on it, because there's certain things that technology can't do. It's very good to help you connect with someone, but it's not very good at building deep community, the kind that you need in a marriage relationship.
Now, Chris, you lead Bible studies. You have one of the largest Bible study conglomerate, if you want to call that, because it's in many locations. Have you heard the kind of complaint that Shirley and I heard at the table at that banquet? Is that a common complaint? Now, is this what the younger generation, young married women, are experiencing and telling you?
I think so very much. But I think it's kind of like the frog in the kettle, that the generations that are coming up are so used to technology that they really don't see the way out. They just think this is the way it is. And the irony to me of technology is that it, even though it makes us much more connected, we feel more isolated the more we use it, because you lose that one-to-one personal face-to-face connection time. And they're losing that with their kids, with their husbands. And it, there's no question that it's impacting families today.
All right. All right. Explain that to me as someone who was married 20 years before all that technology came around. And you would think, just logically, that since we all have cell phones, you know, we're in the car and we call each other, we're in touch, you know, at least 15 hours a day. And there's almost no limit to the number of things that we can experience with one another. Why do, especially women, because women are communicators, why do women feel left out when they're hearing from their husbands like that?
I think it's because we've bought into the lie that multitasking is better. Most of the time when we use some form of technology, like you just mentioned, we're talking on the cell phone while we're driving down the freeway. We aren't giving 100% of our intentionality, of our emotion, of our attention to that other person. We're doing something else. And so we're emailing, you know, texting a message, getting on the phone and calling, but we're almost always doing something else simultaneously.
Well, Chris, I see that in the grocery stores. You know, you have these mothers with their toddlers in the cart, and there's that child right in front of them trying to get mom's attention, and she's wheeling down the cereal aisle talking on the phone. And I just ache. I'm thinking, here's a physical child right in front of you when you could be interacting, and we're talking to someone.
Well, Dad, the question you asked is, how can they feel left out? That's assuming that the other person is communicating with them throughout the day, and they're not.
Some of the men are working at home.
They're communicating
after
with other
a day
people.
Of work.
That's exactly right.
And I confess, I had many times when I would come home from work and I would be there physically, but I wasn't all there. This art of being all there, it's not just being there physically, it's also being engaged emotionally, giving them your full attention. But until I realized that when you don't give someone your full attention, and you don't look at them eye to eye and really listen, you can't really build that relationship deeper the way you want to. And technology is great. We use it all the time, but we found we got to get back to some of the old-fashioned things we used to do. Sit down over coffee face-to-face, or just sit down and have a date night that we do once a week just to talk and to find out where we are in our relationship.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, you said at the top of the program that I'm now on Facebook. And I said, not much, because I've limited myself in that regard. I don't spend a lot of time on the internet either, because I'm interested in everything, history, everything that's there. I could get into those trees and never come out. So I won't let myself go very far there. Is that what we need to do? Simply say, you know, I won't text message. I'll call you, but I don't want to learn that. I don't want to take the time to do it. I don't want my phone going off another 20 times a day. Are other people doing that?
They are.
I just seem to know intuitively that there's a black hole there for me.
Oh, there really is. And we experience it with so many people we come in contact with. And we talk about a Facebook fast. We encourage people to go once a week without technology, at least, to start learning how to limit themselves. And again, we use Facebook. We use Facebook to get the message of Christ out. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things, but if you don't learn to limit it. And so we say, once a week during the Love at Last Sight Challenge, don't email, don't text message, don't go on the internet. Limit your technology and decide how you're going to do it, what you're going to do, and then do some things that you used to do, like actually maybe get face-to-face with a Facebook friend.
That's right.
Facebook them and tell them. The way we got the word out about the Facebook fast was through Facebook.
Through Facebook.
preached to 18,000 people on Sunday morning. That is breathtaking to me. I mean, my dad was a minister, and he preached to 250 and thought it was a pretty good-sized crowd. You speak to 18,000. Did you tell them to take or suggest to them that they take a Facebook fast?
We did.
Did they yell bloody murder?
They did it first, yes. And a lot of them said, I don't know if I can do it, you know, and I think I'm addicted to it. And you'll find out if you're addicted if you try this, and it's really hard because that's what happened with, you know, our family, and that's what happened with families in the church. But what we found was if you get intentional about going back to some of these traditional things, you know, just going on a date night or getting face-to-face and talking and asking your spouse, how can I meet your needs better? All the things that Dr. Dobson, you have taught for years, biblical principles on marriage, you can't really do those things if you're just so caught up in technology.
Yeah. Mm. We've changed it in our household. You know, for me at work, I was wasting an absolute inordinate amount of time in social networks. And I was justifying it by saying, well, I've got an internet radio broadcast. I've got to get the word out about that and about other things. And the truth is, I'm just looking at updates all day long. And so now I check it in the morning. I announce who's going to be on the broadcast. And that's it. I turn it off the rest of the day. And I've always said you can make more money, but you can't make more time. But you can. Just cut things out and you get a lot more time.
Ryan, I want to admit something to you, and I want to ask for your forgiveness. I've never done it before at this point.
Ask
I've asked you to forgive me a lot of times, but you and I went to Moose Point Lodge in Canada to fish. And we were in a boat with an Indian guide, and we were sitting out there catching fish. And I had earphones on and was listening to books on tape.
It was Black Bear Island Lodge.
Yeah.
You remember.
While we were fishing, you got mad at me that day, and I really didn't understand why. But it was at this point, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember that?
Yes. We've had a few discussions about that issue. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because I am a kind of an information junkie, and I love books. And when I'm out someplace, I will listen to a tape. And that day I did, and you really got offended, and I honestly did not fully comprehend it. Mm. So forgive me.
I forgive you.
But the point is, Doctor, even what you were doing was not a bad thing. You know, you think about this technology, like you said, Carrie, it's good. If I can text my spouse throughout the day, say I love you or something like that, that's a good thing. But what I hear you saying is you can keep those relationships so surface. You know, a text or a Facebook post is pretty surface. If I've got to sit down with you over a cup of coffee for half an hour, I got to keep a conversation going. I've got to be a little more vulnerable. We're going to go a little deeper, and sometimes I want to avoid
that's for sure. I know that when my son Josh was probably 5 or 6 years old, when he would come into my office and I would be studying for a sermon or just reading or getting ready for a talk, he would always sit in my lap, but he would grab my face and would just turn it. And so I would look him right in the eyes. And that's something I still have to work at, but I'm learning more and more that I want to be all there, because at the end of our lives, our regrets are going to be about relationships. That's the most important thing.
Chris, the title of your book is Love at Last Sight. Do you want to explain that?
Sure. Well, we believe that love at first sight is really not love at all. It's infatuation. And I know what I'm talking about because I was infatuated with Carrie the first time I saw him. But it's not true love. But our goal is that the last time we see each other on this earth, we'll be more in love than ever before. And if that's our goal, we've decided, well, we better get intentional about how we're going to get there, because it's not just going to happen.
And so in order to do that and accomplish that and to move from infatuation to a deeper loving relationship where you become one flesh, and I strongly agree with you that infatuation is not that. But to do that, you've got to be there for each other. You've got to connect, right?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And it takes that level of being intentional, of deciding this is where we want to end up with our life. And so we need to sit down. And the principles for the book Love at Last Sight are all from God's Word. And we need to see, well, then what steps do we need to take if we want to be more in love than ever before? We want to be our relationship to more closely mirror Christ's relationship with the church. Last time we see each other on earth.
And if the Lord lets you live.
If the Lord lets us live, we're committed. That's the difference.
You know how you do that? You don't die and you don't leave.
And that's easier said than done, Dr. Dobson. Yeah.
You know what I wonder? Luann, you brought up a really interesting point, is a Facebook post or text is nice, but it really isn't very deep. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there aren't more marital problems today in new marriages because they've not experienced a deep relationship. It's based on your relationship status on Facebook and the cutesy little posts you do back and forth. But as far as that deep one-on-one, intimate FaceTime, getting to know somebody, it's just not been experienced. Mm-hmm. And so when you do have problems or issues, they throw things into a tailspin.
Well, how many times, Ryan, do you even hear that someone found out that they broke up or whatever by reading someone's relationship status on Facebook, you know, or people breaking up by text and that kind of a thing?
Yeah, that's another threat to marriage, isn't it?
It's huge, isn't it?
They meet people there.
They can't document it, but we keep hearing that the influx of social networking has really undermined marriages. Have you seen that?
Yeah, many in our church who get on Facebook and they'll reconnect with an old flame that they could have never reconnected with before. And that's why we say on Facebook, you need to give your spouse your password so they can look at your Facebook page and or either share a Facebook page, because we've had that in the last year, I'd say three or four times, where we've counseled couples who the husband or the wife has connected with an old flame on Facebook. They started engaging in an emotional affair and then it turned into something worse, and or they broke up with their spouse. It's just very sad. And we say, Dr. Dobson, that there are three stages for every marriage. There's that first glance stage, and that's the honeymoon stage, where everything you see is great. You don't see any of the flaws or imperfections in your spouse. You think you're so alike. Everything is in common. You know, you like pizza, I like pizza. We're just alike, meant for each other. But then there's that second look stage, where you take the second look and you see the faults and the flaws and the sins, and you see what you really like. It's got to come out at some time. But then you want to move to the last sight stage, and every relationship moves to the last sight stage. The question is, will it be love at last sight, or will it be don't let the door hit you on the way out kind of last sight? And that's the whole goal of our book and our marriage relationship, is we do, the last time we see each other on earth, we want to be more in love than ever. And I have to give Chris the credit for being so intentional, because we put down on paper our plan, what we want our marriage to look like next year. And in 10 years. And she says at the end of our life, she wants to be in the nursing home, totally in love, taking hits on each other's oxygen tanks. So.
Chris, I don't want to put you on the spot, but let me ask you a personal question. Have you and do you regularly have a moment when you say to Carrie, Carrie, we've been running pretty fast, and we're both under pressure, you know, raising four kids and all at the church, 18,000 people, all of the pressures that that can put on you. Do you ever take an evening or a Saturday morning or sometime and start a conversation by simply saying, is there anything you want to say to me? Is there anything that has been going through your head that you have not expressed to me? Anything that that I could answer for you, and may I tell you what I'm thinking and feeling? Have you done that? I mean, that's a great exercise.
Not as
and you don't know what you're going to hear, beg pardon?
Not quite as eloquently as you just said it.
but if you don't ask for it, you can just go on, and those things tend to go away, and they go into a memory bank someplace. And you can get bitter over the fact that you're not into the other person's world, or that person's not into yours.
That's a scary question to ask, though, Doctor. You know, that means that I need to be ready to meet that need if he does bring it up.
And listen, if I love Shirley like I say I do, and I do, and she's thinking something, don't I want to know that? Even if it makes me uncomfortable, I want to know what she's feeling. I want to know if there's some way I failed her. I want to know if there is something she needs from me.
It's back to the vulnerability, though. I'm thinking of a friend I have right now who actually did tell her husband, you know, it really makes me feel left out when you come home and you turn on the TV before you even greet me. And so she said that to him, but he never changed. And it's probably been years. And I think she would tell you she wished she hadn't said it, because she literally opened up her heart and said, it would mean a lot to me if you did this. and he didn't. And that wound is pretty hurt. So there's a lot of trust there to open up at that
level. All right. What's her next step? Mm-hmm. It is to say, will you do me a favor? I just would like a favor from you. And I will do favors for you. We just need to understand what one another needs. Hmm. Would you go to breakfast with me at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning? We'll get a babysitter. We'll do something for the kids. And it's not to argue together. There's something I want to say to you, and I would like you to hear it. And you may have some things you want to say to me. You ask for. You don't wait for him to figure it out. Mm-hmm. He probably won't.
He won't.
He may not even know that he blew past you, that he forgot.
You know where I see most of those conversations going, though?
Hmm.
Well, why don't you just tell me right now? That's where you hear. If you've got something on your mind, I want to know right now. Just tell me what it is.
It's not something I can blurt out.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the heart, and it's something that I just would like to talk to you about. And I'm not asking to be able to jump on you. Mm-hmm. You don't need that,
mm-hmm.
and neither do I. But I love you, and I care about you, and our relationship means a lot to me. And just for us to get together in a quiet way to talk about us. Mm-hmm. Would you grant that to me? Mm-hmm. I think most guys would do that.
I do too. And we have a chapter called Staying at the Table. We use ping pong as an illustration of this because Chris is so good at this, where I used to leave the table whenever the conversation would get tough. I think I'm like most men, that when she would bring up a tough issue that was uncomfortable for me, then I would, don't really want to talk about that. And I would just sort of leave the table. But we say you stay at the table and you volley back and forth like in ping pong.
We actually played ping pong at church on stage to illustrate this point because it really was exactly what was happening in our relationship.
You get on stage in front of 18,000 people and play ping pong.
And she slammed a few at me, Dr. Dobson. You know.
I'd serve it up to Carrie and then he would just let it drop. And I'd serve another one and he'd let it drop. And I just said, this is what it looks like when I try to bring up a tough issue.
Great.
I serve it up to him, and then he doesn't want to deal with it.
Listen, we're into good stuff here, and our time is gone. Can we continue this conversation next time?
That would be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would love to.
I also would like to ask you what the meaning of the title of your first book is.
Yes.
Which is?
1 month to live, 30 days to a no regrets life. And the whole purpose of that
was. Don't tell me now.
We'll tell them tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow.
We'll tell them next
you
time.
Got it. We'd love to, Dr. Dobson.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And would you play ping pong with us at some time?
We'd be honored.
This guy over here, I used to spike him 17, 18 points and beat him through childhood. He went off to college and he went 31-0 in college and came home and beat me 21-4 and I quit.
That's right. I don't regret it one bit either.
Now that's called getting intentional.
That's right.
We'll be together tomorrow.
And we look forward to that. For our listeners, if you cannot hear us on your favorite radio station, remember you can sign up for the podcast at myfamilytalk.com. Or stream the show at the same point.
Also at myfamilytalk.com, we'll have more information about the Shooks Church and both of our guests' titles. Again, they are Love at Last Sight and 1 Month to Live. There you can also find a link to our Facebook page. I know it's a bit ironic to talk about and promote our social networking site on a program like this, but hey, if you're going to spend time online, why don't you spend it with us?
I would agree with that. We've been adding new fans every day. Mm-hmm. Ryan, that online community is just growing by leaps and bounds, and it's a great way to keep up on what's happening right here at Family Talk. Again, we will link to that Facebook page at myfamilytalk.com.
Or if you prefer to get in touch with us by phone or to request a very special 3-CD broadcast collection on marriage, our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Kind of gives you a chance to speak to somebody in person and hear a voice, right, Ryan?
That's right. In closing, I'd like to take a moment to talk about donating to Family Talk. As the year draws to a close, you may be considering a last-minute gift to our ministry, and if God has put that on your heart, I'd like to encourage you to give today. Donate online via the Family Talk app, our Facebook page, or by calling us 877-732-6825. 6825.
Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure not to miss the rest of our conversation with Pastor Carey and Chris Shook. That's next time right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
It's no secret that men and women think differently. That's why learning to communicate in marriage is so crucial. I'm Ryan Dobson for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and let me recommend my dad's book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. I think the title is self-explanatory, but it was written to help couples crack the communication code, giving real solutions to everyday sources of frustration. Get your copy at drjamesdobson.org. Once again, drjamesdobson.org.